Hyundai, the future car buying. It's available right now. That's right. With Hyundai. Hyundai's got shopper assurance. You're going to love this. They've revolutionized the car buying experience in four ways. One, transparent pricing. You know the price. It's always better than guessing. It is the one and only price. They put it up there. That's their product. That's their price. Number two, flexible test drive. Test at your preferred time and location. Streamlined purchase. You can fill out your paperwork online. You do it at home. You don't have to go in there and do it at the dealer. And they have a three-day worry-free exchange. You have peace of mind knowing you can address any concerns about your purchase decision. So they're making it better for you. Car buying made easier. It's possible with Hyundai Shopper Assurance. For more info, visit HyundaiUSA.com/shopperassurance. That's HyundaiUSA.com/shopperassurance.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading the word. Right, Drewski?
Yeah, man. I forgot to show you this on yesterday's show.
Just pull this dick out. Wow. It's girthier than it used to be.
Thank you.
That's fart lining.
That's a Mike Nairn cartoon that Giovanni sent along.
Nairn still gainfully employed with Seth MacFarlane over there at Family Guy?
I don't know because it came from Giovanni. I didn't have any direct contact
with him. Last I spoke to him, which was fairly recently.
He should be, that's for sure.
Well, everybody.
I wonder if there's going to be an actual cartoon to go along with this.
We're looking at a picture. We'll throw it up online.
Yeah. I'll send it to you.
I like telling success stories. And, you know, Mike Nairn was a guy, was an illustrator, and he's just sort of dutifully went about illustrating a lot of the Loveline stuff, and you guys, most of you are aware of it, and you look at some of that stuff, and he did a great job, right?
Yeah.
The one he did with me in Cranston is you know, Gay Eyes, unbelievable as well. And at a certain point, he said, I'm going to be out and in L.A., and do you think you could kind of introduce me to the folks over the Family Guy? And I said, yeah, you've done all this work for free for all this time. You've proven yourself to be talented, but also diligent. And as a guy deserves a break. And I sort of spaced on it or something. And at some point, he said, Drew, put the phone down.
I'm listening.
Over here. Go ahead. He said, hey, look, I'm leaving for LAX, you know, like at 5 this afternoon, and it's like 12 in the afternoon, and if I can stop by, and, you know, and I hadn't called anyone or done anything or something. And I just called Seth and company, and I said, this guy's really good. Please let him just swing by on his way to the airport and meet with somebody. He doesn't meet with Seth. Let him meet with somebody else and just look at his portfolio or something, whatever it is. And they pretty much just hired him there on the spot. And he's listening to this, and if he does, he'll correct me. But I don't know, a few months later, I show up to do a voice, and there he was, just sitting there illustrating
for
the Family
Guy.
Oh, my
God, how great. How fun. What name of those different departments? They have background.
He's a very cool department, which is he's very close to where all the VO, all the recordings take place.
Yeah, I know that part.
And he's also like in a little cubicle where he's getting the advanced look on everything and putting the final
sort of
touches
finished.
On stuff.
Wow,
yeah,
geez.
And it was really – he loved it, and there he is.
Are they still in that same building they've always been in, or they move?
I haven't been there in a while. I do know this, and it makes me laugh, and it's my entire life in a nutshell – is basically just making proclamations that just end up happening like later on. Like I used to go down there and they'd be like, Adam, we got some pickups for you to do. And I worked across the street at KLSX.
Right.
And I'd go, okay, what time do you – I get off work at 10 in the morning. I could be there at 10:30 in the morning and I could do these pickups. And the pickups would be like me going – they need like three of me going, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, good. Yeah. And it would say every time, Seth would always run late and like sleep in and whatever. And I'd get there at like 10:30 in the morning. And I wanted to go home.
Well, he always did the voiceover direction. Did he ever send somebody else in there?
No, he did not.
Yeah.
But they would say, where's Seth? Yeah. He's running a little late. I'd go, just heat up the mic and let me get the three. I don't think so. And they'd go, we wait for Seth.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd go, he doesn't need to be here.
I know.
Because I'm good at this, and I'll give you three different ones. No, I don't think so. And I'd go, he really doesn't need to be present for this.
He should have figured out a way to pipe it into his house, too, by the way, by then, right?
He was always like on his way, but running late.
When you did it, he stood behind that window. He'd always stand, and like he was very involved with the VO stuff.
Oh, yeah. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
When we were doing a scene, I'd be like, you don't get to do the mail it in, Peter Griffin.
No.
I went full
whole
hog.
He does it.
True. All he does is crap on.
I'm affirming your point.
No, you're not affirming my point. I'm telling you, I got him to do full. He would mail. He wasn't being recorded, Drew.
I see.
He would do Peter Griffin's voice, but he wouldn't go full Peter Griffin. He'd kind of blow through it in a half, whatever, because it's 11 in the morning and he doesn't give a shit. Now, I would tell him, Drew, he's got to go full. And you'd go, oh, that's unique.
That is incredible. You got him to do that.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that story with us.
The fact, though, that he would even do Peter at all, you know what I mean? When you're that's the part that I was amazed by.
Yeah, in a weird way, when you're doing a scene that way, if he's talking in his conversational voice, it's a little weirder.
I agree with you, but I thought it was weird that, like, Alex came in and when I did a thing and read some stuff, and I was like, geez, don't do that.
Alex Borstein?
Yeah, like you're busy. I could just read my thing and that's that.
I would venture that Alex is probably recording something at some point
day. Of course, but she did.
Oh, not of course. I mean, you said she came in to record with you.
I don't know what she was there, but she did full Mrs. Griffin.
Oh, yeah. It's easier. Seth wouldn't, but I would make him do it. So it would be fun. Anyway.
Did you see, by the way, did you see her in, if you don't mind me asking, Incredible Mrs. Maisel?
Alex Borstein?
Yes.
Or as you call her, Alex?
Yes, Alex Borstein.
Was it male's name?
Yes, Alex Borstein.
Mm-hmm.
Which does not clarify male or female if you don't know Alex Borstein, but go ahead.
No, that's what I'm saying. We should probably just go Borstein and that. No, I did not. What was that on? I'm trying to think.
I think it's Amazon. She was so good.
She's a talent.
Oh, my God. This is like Susan, we kept watching and going, oh, this is the Emmy. She's got to get an Emmy. She's unbelievable. I knew some people that worked on it. It was sort of effortless for her. Just sort of it fit, you know, what I don't know. Somehow the character was, she didn't have to work hard to get it. But, man, she got it.
She's a talent.
Oh, my God.
I met her at Acme a million years ago.
Yeah.
I remember I threw a party when I was back living in an apartment and she was there and she was being a total bitch to me in my kitchen. And I remember saying to her, hey, this is my kitchen.
She liked
my apartment.
Yeah, she liked you.
She was bitchy and then she got kind of nice. That's interesting. All right. Let me tell you about TrueCar and then I'll share something with you, Drew.
Yeah.
About a pogrom.
Uh-oh. My family had to run away from pogroms.
Your family ran? They fled pogroms?
Fled pogroms. Like you know those pictures down by San Diego along the road with the family fleeing across the street?
Yeah.
That was my family from
Russia.
They
fled pogroms.
Pogroms.
All right. Well, we'll tell you guys about
that in
a second.
It's a long story, but go ahead.
First, I'll tell you about TrueCar. MSRP might know what it stands for, but what does it really mean? Same goes for invoices, list price, dealer price. Can all be confusing. Introducing TruePrice from TrueCar. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. Know your true price is a great price, and you'll know it because TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the exact same car you want, and then you figure out what your price is, and that's how you know. Information, transparency. Their certified dealers set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So not only is True Car great, but their dealers compete against one another to get your business. So when you're ready to buy new or you want to go use, you visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. It's True Car. Pogrom.
Mm.
I'm going to play a clip. I talked to you about it in a prior show off of my friend Dennis Prager's program. We're talking about racism and things like that. Dennis always brings up a good point on this, which is there's a difference between living in a country that has racists and living in a racist country.
Okay.
To say there's no racist is an insane thing. To say we live in a racist country is also equally as insane to me.
I understand.
But you have to understand people out there. Historically, suppression of Jim Crow.
I think everyone's got to define their terms before they start fighting about what things are or not. It's my point. Just everybody define what you're talking about.
This town that we're living in, they're Angels fans of Angels baseball, but we're not really Angels Nation.
Correct.
You know, I don't know anybody that's a big Angels fan. I don't see cars with banners and stuff like that. To say they don't exist is a lie. Mm-hmm. To say that we're swept up in Angel mania is a lie. And obviously, there's a lot more Angels fans out here than there are white supremacists. But as an example, Los Angeles. We like the Angels. I could go find some out there, but it wouldn't say that's who we are.
Right. So you're right.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And that's what he's saying. The racists, that's not who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Other countries have different things. That's who they are. Mm-hmm. This is not who we are. As much as the folks at HuffPo would like us to believe this is who we are, this is not who we are. And there's a huge difference. Whether it's shark attacks or racist, there's just a difference between things that happen and things that exist and something that is sweeping the nation. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So an older black gentleman calls in to Prager's show and is basically explaining to him, this is a racist nation. He gives an example, which I'd love you to hear. But Prager gives an example of a pogrom. Just as there's only one real documented pogrom in the United States.
Oh, right.
And that's black folk in, I don't know, Harlem, New York, I don't know where, going after the Jews. After something in Crown Heights or something, someone jumped the curb, blah, blah, blah. But Dennis Prager, who's a Jew, doesn't think there's a target on his back because of an incident, which is something happened, but that's not who we are. Meaning, he looks at that with anti-Semitism, which is there's anti-Semites, but that's not who we are. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll play the clip. You can, Gary.
The United States has only one example of a pogrom, according to political scientists at liberal colleges, and it was the attack on Jews by blacks in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. How come I never raise that? I never raise it. But I could.
I've heard of that before.
I could. I mean, I could say, well, look, you know, we Jews are really under attack, and especially by blacks, and this is an anti-Semitic country. We even had, organized beatings of Jews by blacks in Brooklyn. But I never, I'm only mentioning it now to point out what I don't mention, because it doesn't exemplify America. You can find anything you want in American history. Anything. It's a big country. So, Jeff, I just have to ask you, I mean, because it's a painful subject to me. On a daily basis, do you experience a racism?
It's slight ways, but I'm kind of like, I don't focus on it, but you do see it.
On a daily basis?
On
a more or less daily basis. On a weekly basis, I'm not trapping you. I want to understand your experience. What do you see that I don't? Now, obviously, you're a black man. I'm not, so obviously, you see things that I don't. I understand that. That's fine.
True.
So, right, okay,
so
but
how can you take that position and say this country's not racist? You're not.
Right. So I'm at, so fine. So tell me what happened in the last week that was racist. What happened to you that was racist? I'll give you a whole week.
Oh, boy, in the last week. Oh, yes. Okay.
All right. We're going to hear it. He just thought of it. Oh, yes. All right. Now, Drew, you may have heard me say there are many things that happen to us, but because of the color of our skin, we can't call it racist. We just call it someone being ill-informed or douchey or inconsiderate or cutting us off and having a bad neighbor, whatever it is. But he's asked a black man for an example, and he came up with one. He's now saying, oh, yes, I got a good one. You ready? Here we go.
Okay, well, I went to a food store. And I don't know, for some reason, and went to the checkout lane. I told the lady, well, miss, there's a large yellow sign straight down the aisle from the register, miss. It says that the Greek yogurt is $3 for $10. She insisted. Again, it was late at night. I'm coming near the airport with my work clothes on. Maybe I looked a little rough. I build engines, okay? So she's like, oh, just no way. I said, miss, obviously.
All right. There was the sign said 3 Greek yogurts for $10, and the cashier disagreed with that or said, I don't believe you, or that's not the special we're running. That's the man who sees racism in this country when he looks around. There was a 3-for-1 Greek yogurt special, and the cashier was not coached up on this special, and that was because he was black. Now, that is a perfect example of my goddamn argument, which is if that's your example, then that's everyone's example all day, every day. There's no such thing. Every single goddamn Sky Lounge I try to walk into where Matt explains to me when I leave the shop, all you do is present your black card and give the guy the handshake and he'll escort you to the vodka bar. And then the guy behind the counter, or oftentimes woman of color behind the counter, goes, huh?
Anti-Italian.
And I go, I was told that I have a executive pass. And they go, we don't honor that. And then I leave. By the way, the last time on the way out of Portland, I got an answer I never had before. Now, I have the like priority pass, and that's good for you and or whatever. You know the one I got on the way out of Portland? We're full up.
Wow.
So, see ya.
Wow.
Now, I would argue that that's more egregious than the 3-for-1 Greek yogurt special, wouldn't you?
Well, it's explicit. We don't serve your type.
Okay, but I don't get to see it as racist because I'm white, right? Maybe that is my privilege, not reading race into everything. That was it. And if that's how we're going to see life, then you will find racism everywhere. Now, it sounds comical that he picked Greek yogurt in a 3-for-1. And situations we've all been in a million times where you said to the person, like, hey, I have a coupon, and they go, we're not honoring whatever. And I go, I just talked to the manager. Well, that's expired. Like, we've all been there a million times, right? Mm-hmm. If that's your version of racism, then there's racism everywhere, all day, every day.
On all humans.
On all humans.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, let me tell you about Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand, completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch free. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free.
It's just all the things that are up there.
Just wow.
It's just insane.
Drew just downloaded that app and he's going to town.
2 minutes to download it, and then you're on. That's it.
Never pay for a TV again by downloading Pluto TV. What are you waiting for? Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation. Anywhere you stream, you go with Pluto TV like we did over here.
It seems like people have been trying to do that kind of thing for a long time. These guys got it.
They nailed it.
Yeah, they nailed it.
What's going on in your life, Drew?
Really? You want to know?
Well, you're not moody.
Like I was, right? I was kind of moody for a while there.
You were like kind of, you know, again, the chick wiring. It was kind of like your period was coming on.
Yeah, sort of like
something was going on hormonally. Yeah. There was an imbalance. But you don't feel that way anymore.
I don't
it's all meat diet.
Maybe it's not feeling good. I don't know. I don't have it because I didn't know what it was then. That's why I kept talking about it because I was trying to figure out why I wasn't feeling good.
Mm.
I think I was getting kind of burned out doing radio, I think. And right now I'm so engaged with all the different things that are going on in the world, I'm not feeling that way.
Show prep. How does that work with the radio show?
Lauren, who is excellent, preps a 30-minute news review. Mm-hmm. She's prepping that. I prep the topics that go the next 2.5 hours. And the producer brings in topics, and he suggests specialists for those topics. I read the articles. I hear about the specialists. And then I pick other articles for just conversation. I just go through all – he gives me a whole stack of articles, and I go through them looking for things that we might want to talk about later.
Do you feel blessed or cursed having to stay on top of things for a living?
Absolutely cursed. And I thought that –
Let me finish.
I thought that's what was bothering me. I thought that's what the problem was.
Absolutely cursed.
Well, because I thought that was what the problem was. But now I'm on top of it, and I feel sort of inspired and engaged and interested, and I don't know why.
I guess there's two ways you can approach that. Yeah, I when I used to work as a trainer, it was a great blessing because you'd always stay in shape because your job was to like show up and lead classes and stuff. It's like literally like someone paying you to go to the gym.
Yeah,
which is great,
insane. Yeah,
but someone could say, I bet if you asked Anderson Cooper, he'd go, "Oh, I'm blessed because I love the news, and now I get paid to devour the news."
Yeah, I was never that person that loved the news, but I do feel engaged now, and I don't know why. I don't know why now the shift, and that seems to be, I think, has something to do with why I'm feeling better. Because I was really, the negativity was just bugging me. Mm-hmm. The world, it just did not feel safe or good, or and the kinds of attacks I would see on social media every day. It's just like, ugh. Tell you another thing I started doing.
Depressed by it.
Another thing I started listening to Scott Adams' Periscopes because he's super positive and he's super positive, and sort of interprets what Trump's doing in a positive spin. So it doesn't feel so uncomfortable watching some of his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have something to do with that. Might also.
I think obviously exposing yourself to that versus, you know, negativity.
You know, another thing. When I was in, if you don't mind me just blurting stuff out as I think of it, New York refueled me in interesting ways, and I had a very strange experience there this time where I realized I was being driven to something in the morning. Also, I've been very busy doing things that I engaged with for like a month. I was busy, and I needed to be busier too. But I was driving down the street in New York, and I was looking down. Wherever I looked, I thought, oh, my God, I'm literally in love with this city. Like, I feel like love feelings just looking around this damn city. It was the weirdest feeling. I thought, wow, I'm really in love with this place. And that was kind of renewing and interesting.
One of these days, I will depress myself by telling Fonda Lear to sift through my calendar, but I do not believe I've been in New York for more than 23 and a half hours 10 times in a row.
Ugh.
10. The last 10 times I've been there under 24 hours.
Yeah, that's not fun.
No, because I always want to go out and walk.
I want to stay. I want to run. I want to, you know, go to dinner.
I want to dance and then break into song. I want to break into LifeLock. That's what I want to do. Yeah. FBI issued an urgent request to reboot your home or office internet router now. Do it now. You got to disrupt the massive foreign-based malware attack. Hundreds of thousands of routers already have been compromised. So many threats in today's digital world. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now includes the power of Norton Security for added protection. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help protect against identity theft, like your info for sale on the dark web. It'll help protect against online threats like ransomware. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it. But you're not going to have a problem because it's LifeLock and you're smart and you signed up for the best. It's LifeLock, right, Drew?
No one can stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft, but new LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Join now. And for the first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code Adam. That is promo code Adam.
All right. Now, you want to take a call here?
I do.
Talk to Carla, 29, Texas. Carla?
There you are.
Hi. Great.
You do Hi. Carla with a K?
I do. I was so happy the guy asked me, actually. I never get that question.
Yeah, super important piece of information.
Why did he ask? It's a different name, that's for sure.
Because you just asked.
Yeah.
We trained people to ask because for a while there we were having Yahoo spell Brian's name with a Y and then you mention it.
I knew a Carla, but it's with a C back in the day.
She also, asked me. Emmy's a go getter. He always asks the actual
always
questions.
Asks? She asked me the Sadie Hawkins dance. I think they have to outlaw those now, right?
Sadie Hawkins,
that's right.
Yeah, we couldn't have girls asking guys because what about the people who are like gender or cis?
You can't be so binary.
Binary or whatever. It would never work, right? Go ahead, Carla. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm a big fan of everyone here, but Dr. Drew, my question is for you. Mm-hmm. I've been a big fan since the celebrity rehab days. I'm sure you don't get tired of I'm sure you hear that a lot, but I actually started listening to your You Live podcast about a year ago.
And,
it was because of your podcast that, you know, I found a definition for codependency. Uh-huh. And I thought, man, I had never realized I had had that.
Uh-huh.
And it was just something I had dealt with all my life. And so I said, man, one day I'm going to call Dr. Drew and ask him, how do you even start treatment for that? And what does that even look
well,
like?
Well, you know codependency is sort of an umbrella term that probably encompasses a lot of different things. And at its core, the way I conceptualize it is a person that really experiences themselves through other people. In other words, you don't have a good boundary between your emotional landscape and another person's. So when you see somebody in pain, you have to stop the pain because you think, oh my God, that person is in pain. But really what's happening is your pain's being mobilized and you need that stopped. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, there's various ways to treat it. It depends, you know, what you're involved with. I mean, if you're engaged with a love addiction, there are people that specialize in that and love and sex addiction kinds of treatments, which is sort of one of the complications of being codependent.
I never trust those, Bronze.
If you're actively engaged with an addict or an alcoholic and you're codependent on that, you need to stop it right away, and that's going to a program called Al-Anon. But if you're just sort of recognizing these qualities in yourself, it's time to get, I think, emotionally focused therapy. But some people, cognitive behavioral therapies. But you need to get in treatment. You need to get in therapy, and you need to stay there for a while. And you will gain access to your own emotional landscape is really what you're looking for in therapy.
Sure. What does that look like in terms of asking or I guess, searching for that therapy? What do you recommend?
I don't know you, so it's hard to, you know, it's really hard, but my gut is emotionally focused therapy, so you want to look for somebody that does something called EFT.
I want to know why you think you're codependent.
Sure. So it's definitely not related to any, like, drugs or alcohol. I don't have anybody like that in my life, so, you know, that's not the avenue. I would definitely say just, I guess I relate to what you said earlier, like, people's pains become your pain.
Yeah.
And I guess I always just consider myself, what's the word, like a sympathetic person.
Yeah.
But I think it's way more than that
right.
at that
you have,
point.
You have poor, so you have poor, you have poor boundaries. That's what?
Drew,
yeah.
How?
Yeah.
Yes. All right, stop it.
Poor emotional boundaries. And thereby, emotionally focused therapy will help you really identify what's yours and what's other people's.
Drew.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know there's something wrong with me, but.
Oh, yeah.
When
I mean, what?
When I hear about Cecil the Lion being shot, I'm like, next.
Mm-hmm.
I see other people like genuinely upset.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't figure out if they're just genuinely upset so other people can see they're genuinely upset so they can get labeled as a hero. But to me, it's like, well, Cecil's dead and there's nothing we can do to bring him back. And I wish I had a magic wand and he wasn't dead, but I'm now done thinking about this.
Okay, so you miss the sort of symbolic meaning of it to people, which is it's a helpless animal that is symbolically this great creature that represents a people that are being exploited and diminished and, you know, or whatever.
But I don't look at
they
that
see the
animal
big,
any different than I look at a swordfish.
I know.
It's just a big creature.
That's you, yes. But it can mean different things to different people.
Oh, no, I understand that. Other people first establish some sort of pecking order where chickens are zeros and swordfishes are sixes and lions are tens.
Yes. So we have mammals.
Based on
mammals,
Disney movies.
Yeah, maybe. And sort of our sense of their stature and pride and all that stuff. And, you know, I will tell you.
Well, let me tell you.
Really what it is.
No one gets pissed when a moose gets shot.
Because, I'll tell you why. Because what we intuitively identify, and I really have thought about this, and I think this is right. Animals that are highly social, whales, dolphins, certain mammals like lions, things like that, we identify a certain emotional landscape that we is somewhat reminiscent of a common landscape. They care for their young. They grieve. So we sort of feel like, oh, that's us.
I get it.
At some level.
And then there's ants and bees. They work together.
They do, but they don't have the caretaking of children and the social awareness, and they have a social function.
Ant colonies, man.
You know, they have social functioning, but they don't have. And I would argue, my personal argument, that consciousness emerges out of social functioning, and so we see this primordial kind of consciousness, and we go, oh, they're suffering. Right? So we identify suffering and we get all bent out of shape about it.
I get there's more to that, you know, than to a dolphin than a pigeon. I'm just saying, like, your week's ruined. That just seems bizarre to me. I don't get that. The dolphin's dead or the thing's dead? But, by the way, we'll all be dead too.
But didn't Cecil represent something? He was like,
that's my whole point.
Yeah.
Cecil doesn't represent anything to me. It's a lion that got shot in a place where lions get shot and lions kill people.
I know.
In those places.
No, but didn't literally he have some – I forget what the story was behind Cecil. I don't remember.
He was a magical lion.
Yes. He was
who led.
There's a cartoon about him.
Well, he was born when a baboon held him high above his head on a cliff.
Therorex Relief, everybody. If you're one of the millions of sufferers from muscle cramps – and it, I know this sounds trivial to some of you young folk, but as you age, muscle cramps at night can really keep you out. Legs, feet – nocturnal cramps. TheraWorks Relief is a topical foam. You don't need to take medication. It's clinically proven to relieve muscle cramps fast. With daily use, TheraWorks Relief even prevents muscle cramps before they start. Don't need a prescription. Minutes to apply. Absorbs quickly. Really works. Get TheraWorks Relief today at CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens Pharmacy or TheraWorksRelief.com. TheraWorks, TheraWorks Relief. Talk to your pharmacist. They are as enthusiastic as I am. TheraWorks Relief and experience relief for yourself. I work with these guys. I stand by it. I've seen some of the effects. I've recommended it to my patients. Let me give you another testimonial here off of Amazon. Suffering with restless leg for years. Now, this is, to be fair, this is not specifically what it's designed for, but it's associated with cramps in the legs. Said, I'm rubbing the cramps on my legs, and the product came on my TV. I felt I had nothing to lose by buying it. Boy, I was wrong.
I love seeing you pop up on that commercial,
I lost my
man.
Sleepless
I
nights.
Do. My kids, hey, it's true.
I lost my sleepless nights with leg cramps. This is the best thing I have found. I faithfully use it every night and have slept all night. I would highly recommend this to anyone with cramping problems. It really works. That is from Dan.
All right, Dan.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Dan.
And take the Podcast One survey. Go to podcastone.com. Click on the survey banner. Spend a few minutes. Good juju. Let them know where you stand. Go to adamcarolla.com. We're doing live shows, podcast shows all over the place. And check out Chassis. Lots of good movies there at Chassis, CHASSY.com. Lots of good offerings. Pre-order Uppity, would you please? We spend so much money. We work so hard on those things. It just helps make the next one, man. Drew?
GoDoctor.com. Check out the Family of Pods there and the opiate documentary we have there. It's a written documentary, but check it out.
So until next time, man. Cover the Doctor. Say, mahalo.